Lester's body was bent like a coiled spring over a massive, glowing screen. With a word from Jill, he snapped. "What? What is it? You've been standing there in the doorway looking at me for 10 minutes. I'm working." "Gus," Jill managed. With a few violent taps, Lester saved his work. "No. Not even for a little while," she pleaded. "Not for any time at all. We won't have a child running around here," Lester said, looking back at his work. He was just now getting ahead. Gus wouldn't stop that. Last time the boy was here, he jammed the 3D printer full of fossils, destroying both. "Can't your brother take care of his own spawn? What's the matter with Frank now?" Jill ignored the chime in the other room. "Well, she wanted Gus here, so she begged Frank to let him come and..." "And I'll be glad when he's old enough to be turned over to the government." Lester looked at the kitchen behind Jill. "Dinner?" Jill shook her head. "No, she wasn't done talking about this." Lester clenched his jaw and started to rise from his workstation. Jill's eyes fell to the floor. She'd go check on it. Lester stared at her as she left the room before sitting back down. As he heard the robotic assistant clang in the other room, filling out the dishes, he sighed. "The last time," he demanded. "This would be the last time Gus came to their house. Period." Lester nodded as he opened up the most recent report. This would keep her from crying about it for the next month. It would keep her out of his business. He shook his head. Sometimes he hated being such a good husband. In the other room, Jill wept. Lester was a brilliant man, quite possibly the smartest, and so she'd ignored the signs back when they decided to get married. Signs that showed how controlling he could really be, how there wasn't any other way but his way. And as his work and importance grew, he eventually forbade her from seeing the friends that he hadn't already alienated. Then, his work took them to the other side of Terra, and now she lived completely in his world. They had only been married for 5 years, but Jill had figured it out. When they'd met, Jill was the most beautiful girl on the base. She was a problem to solve, a prize to win for the smartest scientist in the military. But once he had her, he quickly moved on to the next challenge. Now, Frank was the only family she had left, and Lester was going to take him away too. She wiped her eyes again. No, Jill would not let that happen. I'm Jason Weiser. From Bardic, this is Fictional. A week later, Gus arrived. "What's that?" Lester asked as the boy walked through the door, the gray tail swishing through the air beneath the front of Gus's coat. The boy smiled. It was his tiger. Lester ripped open the coat. A cat. It was his cat. A kitten, Jill corrected. Still a cat, Lester barked, reaching his hand around the animal. With his clinging claws, the little gray kitten came loose from inside the boy's coat. A cat, he repeated. And then Lester turned to Gus. A tiger? Gus was old enough to shed childish illusions. What was wrong with those psych testers? Don't they straighten this sort of nonsense out? He turned with a smile to Gus. This was a domestic shorthair. A common alley cat. They had plenty of them down at the lab. Gus should come down there and see them sometime. They weren't as lively as this one. Not after they were dissected. Did Gus know that word? Dissected? It's 3 syllables. It's a big word. Gus shook his head as he watched his kitten shift uncomfortably in Lester's grip. His fingers pressed into the kitten's fur and skin. The animal wasn't going anywhere. You don't know that word? Lester laughed. Let me show you. Jill shrieked as Lester pulled a knife from his desk drawer, swiftly pinning the kitten on its back atop the large glass table where he always worked. The kitten hissed and scratched at Lester's hand. It was only when the knife grazed the kitten's stomach that Gus realized what was happening to his precious cargo. Lester turned and laughed. Finally, he let the kitten go, and the creature immediately darted under the couch. Jill took the sobbing Gus into her arms and glared at Lester, who continued laughing, telling Jill to relax. It was a joke, obviously. Besides, he wouldn't dissect a cat here. He'd have to spend the rest of the morning cleaning his workstation. All at once, Lester stopped laughing. Now get out of here. He'd already wasted enough time playing around. It was time to get back to work. Oh, and they should take the cat with them, or else he really would end up down in the lab. With the push of a button, his screen hummed to life, illuminated by the face of a general. Lester stood up straight, and Jill knew the look. She put her hand over Gus's mouth, left the cat, and exited the room as quickly as possible. When she dared to return 3 hours later, she found him packing. He was going to Rexor 4. Humanity had long since colonized the solar system and beyond by the same means that they had colonized Terra, their home planet. In the late 21st century, they developed the means to terraform planets. They found life on Venus and solved that problem. And as they branched out further into the galaxy, they found creative forms of life that required equally creative solutions. Lester was part of a lot of those solutions. He was a toxicologist studying their encounters, and he was the one who found the chemical means to neutralize problematic species. In just 10 years, he had saved billions of human lives in mankind's march across the galaxy. Conservative estimates put the lives that he ended in the trillions. Jill knew all of this. Really, there was no way not to know. Lester didn't have a home office. His home was the office, and there she stood among his other trophies. That was why she was leaving. She told her brother, Frank, as much. When he sat across the table from her, projected from his office on Venus, he sucked a cigarette. Well, if she left him, she'd be free to marry again, right? She was still classified as sexually adequate. Jill nodded. Oh, yeah. Maybe she'd even find someone who liked children. Frank laughed. Yeah, she thought a lot of children, didn't she? People usually did. That is, until they started having them. For what it was worth, Gus loved to visit her. He didn't like Les, though. He was scared of Lester. Jill shared just how much she loved having Gus there. In the past week, without Lester, oh, it had been fantastic. With Lester there, she was scared to make a noise, lest she disturb his work. Frank lit another cigarette. He didn't like the guy either, but Lester's work was important. The lives he saved? Frank had read about the skin lime the military used against Callisto. The top brass mentioned Les by name. They didn't do that with everyone. Frank sat back, gesturing around him. He was a clearance lawyer. His work, if he was being honest with himself, meant nothing. He was a cog in a machine, and in 100 years, no one would even know he existed. And that was okay. He did his job, enjoyed it, and lived his life. Les, though, he had the intelligence to change the face of humanity. Jill sat back. She knew. She knew all of this. Because he had told her all of this. And it was because of that sentiment that she knew he would never change. That's why she was leaving him when he returned from collecting samples on Rexor 4. Frank glanced over Jill's shoulder. He had to go. His boss was coming by. He'd see her when he came on the shuttle to pick up Gus. He paused. Frank had heard things from Gus about Lester. He could see that she had made up her mind. But when she told him, even if he acted like he didn't care, men like him don't like to lose. Just be careful, sis, he cautioned. Jill Jill had sent Gus to play with the other children in the child development barracks that morning. She didn't want him to be there when Lester returned and learned that Jill was leaving. She heard the hum of his anti-gravity luggage following him through the hall. Jill swallowed hard, as the bioscanners on the door registered about 70 different biomarkers to verify that it was him. There was a half-second pause, and then the door slid open with a hiss. Jill looked at him. "Lester, I..." But she didn't get to finish the sentence. Her husband flew to her, taking her into his arms and embracing her. Her shocked hands just hung there in the air until, finally, she met his embrace, patting him on the back.
What was all this?
There was an unmistakable sniffle as he finally let her go. His rare show of emotions confirmed as she stepped back and saw the tears welling up in his eyes. She didn't even remember there ever being tears in his eyes. He summoned his luggage to float over to the threshold and gave the signal to close it before he embraced Jill again. He had missed her. He had missed her so much. In all these years, he had never seen a dead planet. Always, he had barely left the bases when he made their poisons. He had been off planet before, like on vacations and stuff, but Rexor 4 was his first time for work. There was life there, the military told him, but he hadn't seen any evidence. All he had seen were ruins. Ruins as far as the eye could see, and the scanners could detect. Everything was dry, dead, and ancient. That solar system's fluctuations in temperature had done more than his poisons ever could. Still, he had to find a specimen of a dying race and bring it back to learn how to exterminate its kin. But the vast nothingness? It was chilling. He still hadn't let go of Jill's hand since they had sat down. Touching her now more than he had touched her in the last year, she just sat there and nodded. Is that why he was different? Lester met his wife's eyes. He nodded. Seeing something like that, it changed a person. And it changed him. All he knew was that he was so happy to be here, with her. Jill squeezed his hand and let go. She should probably go get dinner ready. And Lester probably wanted to get back to work. Lester laughed. Work? Why? Wasn't he just gone for a week at work? The military could have tomorrow, he guessed, but they couldn't have tonight. Tonight, he just wanted to be with the people he cared about most and enjoy being home, on Terra. Jill sat stunned at... Okay, really? He didn't want to work, but didn't he always want to work? Lester shrugged. He knew. Furthermore, he knew that he hadn't treated her well. That was all going to change. He was going to change. That is, he had changed. And in time, she would see it. She looked at Lester, smiling and petting Gus's purring kitten, before he clapped his hands together and asked how he could help preparing dinner. It's wonderful, Jill managed to frank, as her brother stood in the front room of their home. He furrowed his brow. Yeah, she had said that, all of that, on their calls. He was curious. Was there anything new? Jill stuck her thumb behind her. Well, for starters, he had been playing with Gus all morning. They were being Venusian ottermen today. He had taken the morning off and printed an otter slide at his lab. Frank nodded. Go on. Jill was still beaming. Les laughed and joked and, oh, he ate. He actually ate a lot now. He had always been more of a utility eater before, but now he seemed to love food. He was forever going into the kitchen and trying endless, weird combinations. He was also polite and, well, romantic. He wasn't like this at all before the trip. He used to say romance was irrational and illogical. And since he didn't want kids, it had been years since, you know... Well, just to say, that wasn't the case anymore. She could barely keep up now. It was awesome. Her brother grimaced. That was cool. He didn't need to hear that part. More noise echoed from the main room, and Frank asked his sister if he could have a word with Lester outside. Just then, Lester and Gus came into the room, both Venusian otters. Frank was beaming, and Gus had a question for both of them. He wanted to know if maybe he could come live with his Uncle Lester and Aunt Jill. Frank laughed. Maybe, maybe. He turned to his sister. He really wanted to have that word in the hallway with Lester before he left. Jill nodded and turned to Les, who took Gus off his shoulders and nodded. Sure, what's up? Frank put his hand on Lester's back, and the pair walked toward the privacy of the hallway. He said that Jill loved him. Gus loved him. This was all fantastic. Lester heard the click and the charge of the laser pistols as he stepped out into the hallway. It was all fantastic, Frank continued, and entirely different from the jerk known as Lester Herrick that his sister had married. Lester sneered at Clearance Director Douglas as he stood, bound, on the platform in the interrogation room. He had done almost everything for them. He had sacrificed everything, too. His friends, his marriage. The deaths, the untold deaths, took a toll on him, too. Now, when he wanted to be happy, the military was doing this to him? Director Douglas ignored Lester, turning instead to Frank. You're sure about this? He asked. And Frank nodded, handing over the notes he had taken meticulously over the past 2 weeks on the calls with his sister. At first, he only suspected, so he delayed Gus's return. As a lawyer for the military, as a patriot, it was his duty to report Lester. And the change was noticeable at once. As soon as he returned from Rexor 4, Frank swiped over to the relevant page. There was more, too, and it would be in his full report when he was debriefed on today's conversation. We got the rest of them. All 10 of them, Douglas explained. Herrick must have been careless. We found the rest of the interlopers and shoved them out of an airlock in orbit around Rexor. They thought they were fooling people, too. Herrick had a private ship, one of the officers chimed in. That's how he bypassed the check station, going on and off the planet. His clearance allowed it. There wasn't even a record. The military didn't want it getting out. I don't know what you're talking about, Lester interrupted. Do you know the type of work I do? Do you know who I am? Director Douglas smiled. Oh, he knew. And this was a good get for them, for the aliens. He must have been arrogant, without a suit or a shield. This would set the Terran colonization efforts back by a decade. The director pressed a gun to Lester's temple. But they'd manage. Frank cleared his throat. While he thought that was a good idea, that couldn't happen. Not here. Not like this. In orbit around Rexor, when those other men were pushed out an airlock, the military made its own rules. Space was international waters, as the Terrans used to call it before the One World Government. Still, Lester Herrick was on Terra now, under Terran law with a Terran press. His wife was anxious. She'd talk. And even if she didn't, this man was Lester Herrick. He was as close as the science would ever get to being a war hero. Would someone get the lawyer out of here? Douglas barked to no one in particular while training a gun back on the shaking and sweating form of Lester Herrick. Lester had tears in his eyes, begging Douglas not to do it. He was making a mistake. Douglas sighed and lowered the pistol. They had a problem, then. How would they convict him? They needed to go through the courts, right? Frank nodded. He already had an idea, though. He had his notes, of course, but he also had his sister. Jill hung her head. She knew it. She knew it was too good to be true. She wanted Frank to go over it one more time. Frank pursed his lips as he rubbed his sister's back. Sure. The Rexorians were a dying race. The Terrans hadn't actually seen a living one. The hypothesis went that, with their planet slowly failing all around them, they were trying to migrate off-world. There was some evidence that they tried to migrate to Venus a few centuries ago, but it looked like they died off instantly. Like Frank said, no one had ever seen a Rexorian, but they had seen the effects. The Rexorians could become a human, completely. Of course, there was no biological evidence. Only the military knew of it, but it was an old trick. Unsurprisingly, Lester had been careless, arrogant. Jill nodded. Yeah, that sounded like her husband. And he's likely still alive, Frank added. Jill's eyes shot to him. What? With a nod, Frank continued. Yeah, they didn't take over the human. They weren't body snatchers. They were just very, very good shapeshifters. Les was still alive on Rexor. In suspension, somewhere in the old city ruins. Frank had read reports of people who had come out of suspension. It was instantaneous, and he could be saved. But they'd have to start work on this Lester immediately.
Work?
Frank bobbed his head from side to side. It would start off nice. They'd promise him passage to one of the off-world colonies. But if he didn't play nice, well, neither would the military. It would end the same way regardless, don't worry. They would get her original Les back, and this Lester would end up a bloody heap with a laser through his head. Jill stared out the window. Frank had come to her, so that apparently meant that he needed something from her. Otherwise, she would have opened the door to her Lester. Frank nodded. Yes, they did need something. They needed her to testify. The universe was full of other sentient life, parasitic and destructive entities. Terran laws only held jurisdiction on Terra, and human rights only applied to humans. Out in space, the military's work, Lester's work, could continue uninhibited. The problem was that this Rexorian had made it to Terra, and he was in the form of a human. They couldn't just torture and execute a human, so that's why they needed Jill. Frank had his own notes of their calls over the past weeks, and he would personally oversee a strategic unsealing of classified documents on the Rexorians. They had expedited the Rexorians' court date, and they needed Jill's testimony. It would be simple. All she had to do was corroborate the notes and tell the court what she had already told Frank over the phone about how he was different immediately following his return from Rexor 4. That would be it. Jill nodded. And then her old Les would return. Frank embraced his sister. Yes. Yes, he would. Jill sighed. She would do it. The court date had been expedited, but that didn't matter. The press still caught wind. The Terrans knew that there was sentient life out there beyond the stars, though few of the settlers of the off-world colonies had ever seen one. To have one potentially here on Terra, and so advanced to have duped the military screeners and taken the form of a Terran, and not just any Terran, but Lester Herrick? Well, that was earth-shattering. I guess Terran-shattering. Jill's security pushed past the mob at the door to her house, and she made her way to the land vehicle. The trial was going well, according to Frank. By now, he was becoming something of a celebrity. There would be no going back to his stuffy little office on Venus now. He'd found a Rexorian infiltrator and worked a legal miracle just to torture and execute him on Earth. He was drinking it in every night on the news. Frank had confided in her that he might even be moved forward to high command. It was wonderful. Jill, however, was a civilian, and Frank and the others wanted to limit her exposure as much as possible. She only needed to say, at most, a single sentence. But the more the better. As they escorted her into the courtroom, she shook the hand of Clearance Director Douglas, who thanked her for her service to her species in putting this dangerous creature where it belonged. She looked to Lester. He was thin, thinner than normal, and his eyes were puffy and red. He had been crying. He looked up to her. He gave her a look that screamed, that begged for help. Clearance Director Douglas told Jill that she could take the stand whenever she was ready. And she looked at Frank, who patted her on the back. She turned back to the director. She was ready. The courtroom fell silent as she took the stand, the cameras that floated around the stand parting to allow her through. Lester looked at her with pleading eyes. If she ever loved him, please, help him. The attorney for the military approached the stand. He thanked Jill on behalf of the court for this unpleasantness. It would just be a short trial, but soon her husband would be back to the way he was before. It was a comment that Lester's attorney should have objected to, but the man was already in over his head. Jill leaned forward toward the microphone. What did the attorney mean? Before? Before what? The attorney chuckled. Before his trip to Rexor 4. The change in him. Jill shook her head. That was what confused her. People kept saying that he changed, but he was still her Lester. There hadn't been any real change. Frank zeroed in on Jill with a nervous laugh. No, there had been talks. Talks with whom? Jill asked. With your brother, Frank uttered beneath clenched teeth. Oh, you mean the prosecuting attorney, who's using my husband's life to turn himself into a household name? Jill asked, looking Frank squarely in the eyes. He's not your husband, Jill, Frank said, his smile fading. Jill turned to the court. She knew that this was her husband. If anything, he'd come back more like himself than before on his return from Rexor 4. He didn't want to do it anymore. He didn't want to make their poisons, the ones that they used for the off-world colonies. And the military hated that. So they called him a monster, an alien, all because he wanted out. And now they wanted to put him in a box for the rest of his life and torture his expertise out of him. He wouldn't do it for them willingly, so they'd make sure he did it for him unwillingly. Or died. Look at this. They weren't just killing aliens, not anymore. They were turning on their own. And everyone should be scared. Jill, what are you doing? Frank hissed, before looking back to the scowling Douglas and glancing at the judge. The judge asked if they had the witness make a sworn statement before the trial. Frank shook his head. She was his sister, after all. The judge muttered something about it being sloppy and allowed the questions to continue. But Jill deftly handled every one. The trial lasted for a few more hours, but without their key witness, the only real evidence that they had to corroborate the military's assertion that Lester had been replaced by an alien was the prosecuting attorney's own notes. In the end, the military had no choice. Because of the media attention and Jill's last-minute defection, Lester walked free that evening. As the Terran sun set that day, Lester held Jill's hand and gently squeezed. The land speeder lurched through traffic on their way home. Lester had calmed down and now looked on the setting sun, framed by the trees, and sighed. It was beautiful. It was all so beautiful. Lester put his arm around Jill, and she put her head on his chest. Thank you, Lester managed. Thank you for trusting me, for seeing that it was me. What is your name? Jill asked, without looking up. The man started, but then stopped with a smile. It was a long time before he responded. I'm afraid you would not even be able to pronounce it. He paused. I suppose I can't even pronounce it now. The human mouth cannot form the sounds. Jill was silent for a long time. Lester rubbed her shoulder. What was she thinking about? I was thinking, perhaps. I will still call you Lester, Jill said. If you don't mind. He smiled. I don't mind. He drew her close and looked down tenderly. Anything you wish. Whatever will make you happy. The car slowed to a stop in front of their tower. they were home. The story is different from all the Philip K. Dick stories we've covered on this podcast, because it's more of a slow burn twist. When the Rexorians are revealed, the explanation for Lester's behavior is obvious. Jill loves the new Lester so much that, of course, she's going to commit perjury to free the man, or the Rexorian. The original story is called Human Is, and it asks the central question, what does it mean to be human? The humans in this story are militaristic monsters, exterminating whole species to build colonies and expand across the galaxy, while the alien infiltrator is calm, peaceful, contemplative, and loving. He cares for Gus and Jill and earnestly wants what's best for them, all while appreciating being alive on a thriving, comparatively beautiful planet. I like the story's commentary that, while we may be human, having humanity means something else entirely. If you like the podcast, we have a little shop. It's a fun way to help support the show, get cool stuff, and for the first time ever, we're offering something just for graduation. It's a handwritten, personal message from us to the graduate in your life, plus a few bonus gifts. Check out this and the other stuff we make at shop.bardic.fm. Today's episode was adapted by Jason and Carissa Weiser from the story Human Is by Philip K. Dick. Our theme song is by Breakmaster Cylinder. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you again soon.